Pastor Oleg Volkov has asked that I read the last few verses from the text from which he will be preaching today. I'll be offering our scripture lesson for the sermon. Pastor Oleg will then be referring to the entire passage in Mark chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them to Mark chapter 5. I will be reading verses 14 through 20. After I read, Pastor Oleg, I will welcome you here, and then if you will lead us in prayer, please join me, for this is the word of the living God. Mark 5, beginning in verse 14. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told him how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with Jesus to depart from their region. And when he had got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's pray. Blessed and glorified God the Lord, our Heavenly Father, all scripture is given by your inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that each of us may be complete, truly equipped for every good work for your glory. Help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit to understand your word with open hearts and humble ourselves under your mighty hand, to listen to your Son and obey his will, to be wise stewards and to build up the spiritual house for your glory. To you be all the glory, honor, and worship. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen. Добрый день, благодать и мир вам, дорогие братья и сестры. I know that it is unusual to listen to Russian speech in Texas, especially in your blessed church. Thank you very much for your patience with my English. Peace and grace to you be multiplied, dear brothers and sisters. I greet you, the congregation of God's people, on this Lord's Day, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm glad that I can be here with you today in the house of Lord to give honor, glory, and worship to our loving and merciful God. Please accept sincere greetings of love from the saints of our congregation in St. Petersburg and from the church in Samarkand. Thank you very much for participating in the work of the evangelism to spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. In Mark 5, we read a story. Possessed man from the country of the Gadarenes. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell the same story in different ways, but its message doesn't change. If we had been witnesses of this story, we also would have described it a little differently, depending on our own perspective. Let's think over the story as told by Mark. I think you have possibly heard sermons based on this passage. maybe read books or commentary. Can you imagine a person who was so possessed that, as we read in verses 5 and 6, no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. As for me, I have never seen such a person. Every time I read this passage, I wondered about the practical application of this story. I understand that the Gospel of Mark was written for Romans who respected power and strength. I see that our Lord Jesus Christ is depicted here as a strong warrior and the king, as the lion of the tribe of Judah who tames storms, heals incurables, and beat a legion of demons by his word. I see how fast and dynamic all events in the gospel move. I understand the structure and the main themes of Mark. But I have had some difficulty with understanding this practical story about the demon-possessed man. Interesting that Mark tells this story right after Jesus tames the storm on the sea, where we see Jesus as the Lord of all creation, so that even his disciples questioned, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? And right after this story, we read about the man from the country of the Gadarenes. Here is the beginning of the story. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been put apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Jesus and his disciples came by boat to the other side of this of Sea of Galilee, to the country of the Gadarenes. That was a region inhabited by pagans. It's clear because those people kept pigs, which were considered unclean by the Jews. On the shore, Jesus and his disciples met a strange man who lived in the cemetery and was possessed by an unclean spirit. Can you imagine a person who lives in the cemetery? Our cemetery is not adapted for living. But if you come to Central Asia and see the local cemetery, you will understand how people can live in the cemetery. I saw old cemetery in Samarkand. It looks like several hills with caves. Each cave may have more than one grave. When you enter the cave, you see something like hollows on the wall. These hollows are sealed by clay. They used to put a dead person into that hollow grave and sealed the entrance. If the family of deceased was rich, the person was buried in a separate cave. And when I saw that cemetery, I understood how a man could live in such a place. Mark explains why that man lived there. As we read, he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Awful picture. To put it in modern language, this person was a social problem. It was hard for people to live with him because he caused inconvenience and difficulties. He was a strange man. He was aggressive and out of control. Nobody could manage him. People tried to solve this problem by putting him into chains. On the other side, Mark shows us a miserable man who suffered a lot. Crying out and cutting himself with stones. All people's efforts were futile. Nothing helped, and they were not able to solve the problem because this strong and fierce man broke the shackles in pieces and pulled apart the chains. They tried to control him, but in fact he controlled them, and he was controlled by the devil. When someone troubles and does not let people live a quiet life, then people try to solve problem. They isolate this person and put a straitjacket on him. They even resort to strong sedatives. A long time ago, I saw the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson. I was really impressed. I caught one idea. People like to solve the problem of those who are undesirable by isolating them completely, cutting them off life. No man, no problem. And people think that they help the person by doing this with him. But in fact, this doesn't help because it doesn't solve the problem. Moreover, it makes it worse because the problem isn't physical but spiritual. It is sin. When a man is possessed by sin, he is under his vicious passions. He may become aggressive, out of control, and create inconvenience for others. Have you ever tried to deprive anybody of his vicious passion? I have. The person I tried to help was ready to kill me because I condemned his sin and exhorted him to give it up. The most interesting thing is that this man considered himself to be a Christian. He read the Bible and went to church. And I had another experience in my life. I was invited to one family. Their son was a drug addict. His father was crying when he told me that they had to lock all kitchen cabinets and all drawers in the house to prevent son from taking everything out to sell to buy heroin. They tried everything to help him or to control him. Nothing worked. They felt like they were at the deadlock. I listened to the father and felt pity for him. Then I said that nobody would help them but Jesus. Only he can solve this problem. I shared my testimony about how Jesus helped me when I found myself in a corner. I told him the truth, that nobody but Christ can solve the problem of sin. In the end, they went to church. That was their only and last hope. I know they joined the group of parents who experienced similar problems. Many years have passed since that time, but I still believe that only Jesus can help a man and deliver him from the power of sin and devil. In Mark, verse 6 through 13, we read, "When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me.' For he said to him, 'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.' Then he asked him, 'What is your name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us to the swine, that we may enter them.' And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran wildly down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea." My heart stands still when I read this story, because it's my personal story too. I went through something similar, and therefore I can assure you that this story from Mark is not a fairy tale. It's real. I'm sure that any person who meets Jesus personally and experiences the dwelling power of his word can put his name down for this story and share his testimony. So, the possessed man whom nobody could control saw Jesus, ran and worshipped him. Then he cried out. An unclean spirit turned the man, God's image. And how the unclean spirit is, and now the unclean spirit is torment himself because he came across the power and strength he could not resist. Demons know the power and strength of God and tremble. But sinful people don't fear when they sin. And they justify their sins, as we read in Romans 1. As I can see, it's getting popular to put a sign on your car: "My life, my rules." What does it mean? It means God is not my authority. My life, my rules. God is not my authority. Did you meet these people? I met them many times. When Jesus asked, "What's your name?" he answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many." A regular Roman legion had 6,000 people and 300 horsemen. Sometimes the number could reach 10,000. It's difficult to imagine how thousands of demons could fit into one person. I think a legion is a lot. But it only emphasizes how strong and fierce the gathering man was. He was really strong. Nevertheless, the whole legion was powerless before the authority of Jesus, because his power surpasses any other power in the universe. His authority is primary over all other authorities. As we could see, Jesus did not have to fight with a legion of demons. It was enough for him to say, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." And that's it. The word of God is mighty. By his word, the Lord created heaven and earth. By his word, he preserves everything. Peter the Apostle in his second epistle says, "By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perishing ungodly men." Turning back to our passage from Mark, demons ask permission to enter the swine, and Jesus let them do it. Because without his permission, they cannot move. This is good news, isn't it? Evil is under complete control of God. As we read, and at once Jesus gave them permission, then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. I am sure if we had seen it, we would have been shocked. A big herd of pigs suddenly got out of control, like the demon possessed in the past, rushed into the sea and drowned themselves. I think here Mark wants to emphasize that a strong evil power had submitted to a more mighty power and authority, the power of our Lord. Jesus Christ, his great warrior, and the king has beaten a legion of demons by the power of his word. He is our true savior who came to save a man from the power of sin and death. He came and did what he came for. It's very important to understand that he came and did everything for us and instead of us. So we have to be very thankful to him for everything what he has done for us. When people face a power that surpasses their own, they get scared. That's what happened to the eyewitnesses of that story, as we read. People who lived in that area were shocked when they saw what Jesus has just done. Maybe they felt pity for the pigs. I don't know. As one of my friends once said, Jesus left the whole region without stew. Then they came to Jesus and saw that one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. When they found out how it happened, they began asking him to leave. Maybe they were just concerned about their other possessions and they did not want to lose them too. But I have one idea from this passage. Sinful and vicious people don't want a strong and powerful Jesus who can solve any human problem, because they will have to submit to him. Sinners want a Jesus who would just love them and would not require anything from them. They would agree to be with a Jesus who would indulge their sin and selfishness, who would bless their vices and lusts. But they don't want a Jesus who defeats a legion of demons by his word, who can solve main problems of man, sin, and makes him free for better life, who has all power and authority, and who hates sin and iniquity. People often think, why do we need a lake with crystal clear water when we can have fun in our muddy swamp? But if you experience the power of God's word in your life, you don't think so. Like the former demon-possessed man from the country of the Gadarenes. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus didn't permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you, and how he has compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. People ask Jesus to go away and leave them alone. He agreed and got into the boat to depart. But the healed person asked Jesus if he might go with him. In other words, he asked Jesus if he could be his disciple. I understand the feeling of this man very well. Jesus helped him and saved him from death. Jesus became the center and the meaning of his life. He gave him new life and new hope. Jesus made him new and gave him a new heart filled with gratitude and love towards the Lord's Savior, because he wanted to be with Jesus. Would you do the same if you were this man?
I do.
It happens in my life too. But Jesus had another plan for this man. He gives a commission to him. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you. It's more than likely that this man's friend and relatives had given up on him. But the Lord raised him and sent him to them as a witness. The most important thing and the strongest testimony is that the Lord had compassion on me. strongest testimony about God's mercy. Our Lord is merciful, and His mercy endures forever. What He did for demon-possessed man from Gadara was 100% mercy from the Lord's side. He could do anything with this man, but He had compassion on him. Here we can see a heart of Jesus. He very, very merciful. By mercy, He has gained this person for Himself because the man would do everything for the Lord. I think it is a very good example for us. We need to be merciful to our wife and husband, our children, our brother and sister in church, our neighbors, our relative, to gain them to Jesus. Need to be more merciful because God is too merciful to us. In verses 20 we read, "And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled." This man who was saved fulfilled the Lord's commission. He humbled himself under the power of Jesus and went preaching not only to his household, but all around the city. This man didn't need any other motivation except what he had already decided when Jesus became his highest authority for faith and life. Therefore, he went and did what the Lord asked him to do. That's how true faith works. I will go and do what the Lord commands. I will go and I will do. I don't think this man was a prominent theologian or scholar. It's quite possible that he couldn't even read. But he had a testimony of how the Lord had compassion on him and had given him a new and wonderful life. And for Decapolis, that was enough. Therefore, they all marveled. What did he tell them? I think something like, "Remember the first man who lived in the cemetery? He was demon-possessed and caused many problems to the people around him. They did their best to calm him down, but nothing helped. Look at me. I was that person before Jesus came and made me free. He ordered the legion to leave me and let the demons enter the swine who fell then from mountains into the sea. The Lord had compassion on me and gave me a new life. Therefore, I came to you to tell you that the Lord Jesus may also have compassion on you. Believe Him. Trust Him. He can do it because He has authority and power." As I said earlier, I didn't quite understand the practical value of this story about demon-possessed man before I came to Samarkand, where I met a very interesting person. My new friend was an Uzbek who was my age. He grew up in a big family where there were 13 children. They all live in Kishlak, not far from Samarkand. Kishlak is like a very small village in mountains. When this man finished his military service, he was addicted to drink and became very aggressive. He was a real headache for his family. Nobody could control him. His family tried to help him, but nothing worked. He drank so much that he soon developed liver problems. He was dying without any hope. He was in darkness, in the grip of sin and death. But one day, someone told him the gospel, and the Lord showed mercy on him and gave him faith. He believed wholeheartedly, got baptized, and became a new man. The Lord has even healed his liver. So, after all these events, he came to his household to tell them how the Lord had compassion on him. But his family didn't believe him. They were Muslims and often resorted to the assistance of a mullah when their brother had problems with alcohol. But the mullah did not help. And they said, "Here, some Jesus has made him free, healed and given new life." They said that they didn't need a Russian face because Jesus is Russian face. They didn't need Russian face. They are strong Muslims. They made fun of him and thought he had lost his mind. They didn't accept him. One of his brothers was an aggressive Muslim. He even threatened to report him to the police. But suddenly, his brother died tragically. The whole family was shocked. In spite of mocking and aggressiveness from his relatives, the man kept telling them about how the Lord had mercy on him and prayed for all of them. Preached and prayed. First, his wife and children turned to God. Then one brother and his family came to the Lord. Later, another brother with his family and a sister with her family humbled themselves under the power of Christ. Then his 85-year-old mother became a Christian. And recently, one more brother with his family turned to Christ. When I was in Samarkand, I baptized the whole family. One more brother and his family are on the way. And this man keeps preaching and praying. Every day, he has morning time to pray for all his family. And every day, he continued to preach the gospel. Testimony how God pardoned him. And here is what I understood. If you met Jesus and he had compassion on you, go and tell you all your relatives, friends, neighbors, and pray for them. Ask the Lord to have compassion on them too, because they need. If they don't believe in Jesus, they need mercy from God. Don't look at the circumstances. They may change. But be faithful in what the Lord has committed to you with, for he does not change. He does not change. If he gained you for himself, it means he has a work for you to do, to be his witness in a place where you live. Just share with others about how Jesus had compassion on you. I'm sure each of us whom the Lord called has our own testimony about how he had mercy on us. We just need to do what the former demon-possessed man did. Listen to the Lord and fulfill His will. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion on you. There is nothing difficult in this command. We don't need any special knowledge to fulfill it. We just need to be obedient to the Lord. May God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit help us and make us strong in true faith and steadfast hope. May He fill our hearts with His love and give us grace to be faithful until the end, to glorify Himself in us and our children. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord. To Him is all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, merciful and loving God, thank you for delivering us from the power of sin and death, for taking us out of the darkness and into the light so that we could know your love and mercy. Thank you for giving us new life so that we could live for your glory. Thank you for making us your witnesses in the place you choose for us to live. Help us be faithful to tell our families and friends about what you have done with us and how you have had compassion on us. Help us to glorify you, our one and true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.